Welcome to Radical Simple Living Podcast, episode 25. It's been a few days since I've put out a podcast, and the last one was incredibly complex in some of the things it got us to think about and got me to talk about. This one is a little simpler, on the surface anyway. It's about simple clothing. Now, after what you eat and how you use energy, how you heat your home and how you transport yourself about the place, clothing is the third of those really big ways in which you influence not only your own life, but you influence the environment, because your clothing choices have an enormous impact on the rest of the world. So we're going to talk about some of those issues today and talk about some of those consequences and what you can do to make things better. And when I say make things better, by simplifying what you wear, you can help yourself save money. You can help yourself have a less of a storage problem maybe, and you can certainly help the planet by making environmentally and ethically good choices. Now, before I start, there's a lot of minimalist podcasts about, let's say, what you've got to do is to go to your wardrobe and throw 90% of everything away. I'm not going to tell you anything like that. It's up to you. And if something's in your wardrobe, it's there. So unless there's a good reason for you to get rid of it, i.e. it doesn't fit you anymore, and there's nobody else in the family that can wear it, then, you know, hang on to things. Make life simple by holding on to things and avoiding going and buying new things. That may be more helpful. So I'm not going to tell you to throw your wardrobe away, or what's in your wardrobe more correctly. Okay, first of all, why do we need clothing anyway? Well, one of the reasons that I'm only too aware of here in the Northern Hemisphere, as many of my listeners are, and it's certainly true in the far Southern Hemisphere too, you need clothing to keep you warm. Now, we don't know when humans started wearing clothing, but it was probably animal skins, and it was probably as people moved north. And I've read it a number of times that possibly the most important technological advancement that humans made in their history was the ability to take animal hide and sew it together. Because it was a relatively easy thing to skin an animal and wrap yourself in its coat, but it's a much harder thing to sew those bits together and make them into an item of clothing. It's not terribly difficult, but it was a big conceptual leap. And what it did, it allowed people to move further north and to use both hands. And with two hands, you're going to be a more effective hunter than you would be if you just had one hand. You can experiment with us a little bit later on. So warmth is important, and we still wear clothing for warmth quite a bit, depending on where we live and depending on how much time we spend outside. Although at this time of increasing fuel costs, what you wear indoors is also important. Wearing the right things in the day, sleeping in the right things at night, make an awful lot of difference to how much energy you're using in your home and how much money you can save by not using it, by dressing well. And we'll come on to that later on. The second function of clothing is it offers us protection. Now, protection from what? Well, the sun, believe it or not, it's very important. Those of us who are pale-skinned have a big problem when it comes to going out in the sun. We get burnt. We may be increasing our chances of getting skin cancer. We can certainly give ourselves any degree of discomfort by exposing ourselves too much to the sun. So protection from the sun. Protection from insects. Here in southern Sweden, mosquitoes rule in the summer. And when they do, I like to wear long sleeves, because that's one way that I can stop mosquitoes biting me. There are other ways, and I'll tell you more of those later maybe. So protection from the sun, protection from biting insects, protection from rain. Rain can be a problem unless you're wearing clothing that's going to keep the rain out. And again, technology has given us lots of help here, but the old-fashioned way to do it was to take a fabric and to wax it and to get so much wax on it that it was no longer going to let the water through. It was going to remain waterproof. So protection is important. It also keeps us covered. Now, we might not think of this as an important thing, and most people say they don't dress out of modesty. Modesty is a word, really, that was meant in Victorian times as far as clothing went, covering up as much of your body as possible. Few of us cover ourselves as much as the Victorians did, but we still like to hide our body. If you say that's not an important issue to you, really? If you're a nudist, I'll accept that argument. If not, I think most of us do dress to keep our body hidden. Not because we're ashamed of our bodies, but because of modesty, because we want to keep it to ourselves and share it with people other than the general public. So that's important. Now, clothing also gives us social status, or status in some parts of the world. I come from South London, so I have long vowels. Social status, take your pick. People dress, if they're influential and wealthy, or think themselves influential and wealthy, they will dress accordingly. They will not wear certain things because that's associated with not being as important as they think they are. Now, that's one of the things we can do something about, because I would like to suggest that that's one of the things we can break down a little bit, the idea of status. And certain groups have decided all to dress the same to remove that social status aspect of clothing. And we'll talk about that later too. You might also dress according to your job. If you're a farmer, you won't dress the same as if you're a chartered accountant, probably. If you are a nurse, you won't dress the same as if you're a factory worker. If you're a trapeze artist, you won't dress the same way as if you're a clown. So all of these things have to do with our jobs and specific jobs. A little frivolous, some of those comparisons, but you get the idea. In Sweden here, carpenters wear a certain kind of shirt that nobody else wears. Carpenters wear it. Chimney sweeps wear a certain kind of clothing. So over the past decades, I think these things, if you see somebody on the street, you can't really tell if they're a software engineer or if they're a jobbing gardener. They might dress exactly the same way. So that is breaking down quite a lot. Now, the last reason for clothing here, no, it's not the last reason, it's the second to last reason, is because it helps us identify with others. You will be aware that certain people dress the same way as other people that they choose to identify with. A Hell's Angel will dress in a similar way to other Hell's Angel. An Amish woman will dress in a similar way to other Amish women. An Orthodox Jew will dress in the same way as other Orthodox Jews. So identification with others is another reason a lot of us dress the way we do. And to not only to identify with others, sometimes to remove yourself from others. We'll talk more about that later too. But there are lots of identification is an important thing. And the last reason, really the last reason this time, is that clothing tends to allow us to express our personality. If we go out in the morning, we put on clothes that express who we are a little bit. It may also show how we feel that day, I don't know. But we do use this to express individuality, and that's important as well. So with all these reasons for wearing clothing, you can see that it's an important part of life in all kinds of ways. Now, assuming that this podcast is all about radical simple living. Simple is one of the things most of you would want to get into the way you dress. Now, simple has to fit in with all the other things you do. Somebody that simply dresses for a different job than you, simply dresses in a different climate than you do, it might dress in a completely different way. So we have to be careful about this word simple and what it means here. And there's another word, which is plain, with a capital P. And plain dressing talks about the ways of dress adopted by people like the Amish, Mennonite groups, maybe some groups of Quakers will dress this way, maybe some Muslims will dress this way, maybe some Jews will dress this way. They dress in a way that is plain, that is a way that is not ostentatious, that is not trying to draw attention to differences between them, but similarities. Now, plain dressing is going to get a podcast all its own, so we're not going to talk about it too much in this episode, but we will be talking about it as something you might want to think about. If not for yourself, if it may help you understand people that do plain dress a little bit more. Dressing has also got to be practical. It is no good you wearing an expensive suit to dig the garden. There is no point in you painting your room in the clothes you have to wear to a wedding next week. So practicality is important, and practicality can go with these other things. It can go with simple and plain if necessary. And then we come across this idea of style. Now, I do believe in individuality. I do believe each of us are individuals, and I do believe that the job of us as individuals is to respect other people who are individuals. And style is one of those things that people develop for themselves. Now, I'm using the word style instead of the word fashion. And I'll tell you why. Because fashion is often something that's been decided by somebody else. You know, a designer somewhere thinks, oh, this year clothing will all be baggy. It'll be much bigger than necessary and loose. And then another year they might decide clothing has got to be very tight. And they might say, oh, clothing has got to be very plain colours this year, or plain, or next year it might be very patterned. And we know that fashion is fickle, and we know that sometimes when we're young, we try and jump on this fashion thing as the most important aspect of what we wear. As we get on, we realise it's not that important at all. And maybe developing our own style becomes more important. I will say this about these two things. Fashion is wasteful. Fashion is wasteful because you might buy something this year that nobody would dream of being seen dead in next year. And then what do you do with it? If you give it away to charity, maybe nobody wants to wear it either, which suggests it probably ends up in landfill or for a fancy dress somewhere. Who knows? Style is timeless. If you get a good pair of shoes, a timeless pair of shoes, you know you could still be wearing them in 10 years' time and they're going to look okay. So you save yourself a lot of money by looking for style rather than fashion. So do think a little bit about your style. And one way you can do this is just go into your bedroom, take clothes out of your wardrobe, and think of the four seasons of the year and lay out your favourite things to wear in those four seasons. And then, because they're your favourite things, if you look at them, you will see that certain cuts of cloth, certain colours, certain fabrics are the things you favour, they're the things you like most, and they're probably the things that say most about you. If you then look at your wardrobe at things you don't wear very often, why don't you wear them very often? Because you don't feel comfortable in them, you don't feel right in them, they're not helping your style. They may be something you brought on a whim, they may be something that somebody else told you you look good at, it might even be something that somebody got you as a present and you can't really bear looking at. Your style is very personal to you, and whatever it is, go with it and let the rest of the world get used to that. Your style belongs to you, and it's as much part of your personality as anything else. One thing I would say, though, is when you get up in the morning, try to dress for the day. Try and put on clothing that is going to be appropriate for what you need to do that day. If you find yourself having to change clothes two or three times in the day, you're getting something wrong. you're making a lot of washing, you're making a lot of work, you have to own more clothes than you might need. Get up in the morning, look at the weather, think about the jobs you have to do, put on what you need for that day. And sometimes that might mean you wearing those clothes for something else you need to do that day. That's not really a problem, is it? You know, it's not really a problem if you wore clothing to go and dig in the garden and then you have to wear that same clothing when you go and pick up the children from school. That's fine. Nobody's going to complain about that. They'll say, oh, you've been busy gardening. That's what they will do. No one's going to care. You don't have to go in and shower and change and put on new clothes because you've been gardening all day. As long as they're fairly clean, you can go and do other jobs. You can go shopping afterwards as well. You don't have to get into this mindset of constantly changing your clothing for different things you have to do that day. It's not what you have to do. Now, among the reasons of why you throw clothing away is sometimes because it's gone out of fashion, and we've already discussed that. Sometimes your size has changed, you've lost weight. Perhaps you've, there's a couple of that, you're looking very, very good. There's a couple of you listeners out there. Have you lost a bit of weight lately over the winter? I thought so. If you've lost weight or if you put on weight, sometimes your clothes don't fit you anymore. And you have to get rid of them. And I hope you take them to a charity shop, to a thrift store, as it would be in the States, and donate them, and so other people can get some use out of them before they're finished. Sometimes we throw clothes away because they get so old and worn that they're good for nothing. A t-shirt that you've worn for years becomes so thin and so lacking in shape that you have to use it for cleaning cloths. That's no problem. But sometimes people throw clothes away because they are broken. Well, broken for clothing is a strange word to use, and maybe you think it has an enormous tear in it and you or nobody you know can repair that tear. Well, that's one thing. You could have a go at repairing it, even if it doesn't look wonderful. It still might be functional. But the main reason people throw clothing away is because zippers get broken. People will have a pair of jeans and the zipper will get broken. And you can get new zippers put in. Some of you that are clever can put in new zippers yourself. If it's a big coat or something with a huge zip, it's very difficult to replace that zip. Sometimes it's difficult to find one that's the right colour or the right size, and you end up all kinds of problems. Now, the solution to this is easy. Don't buy clothing with zippers on it. There's zips in the UK, by the way, zippers in the USA, zips in the UK. In Australia, New Zealand, I'm not sure. Zips, I think. Either way, you know what I'm talking about. Buy clothing without them because the clothing will last a lot longer. I gave up zips a long time ago, 20 years ago maybe. And I've still got, believe it or not, because I'm the same size, I've still got a couple of things with zippers on that were archive purchases that are, you know, I'm not going to throw them away just because I've got a zipper on them. But I don't buy anything now with a zipper on. With the exception, sometimes you cannot find a really good outdoor coat without a zipper on. You can, you know, you can find an outdoor coat to walk around the city, but you can't find an outdoor coat to go out in the woods without a zipper on. So zippers have their places, but as a general rule, try and rethink your wardrobe, and when you go shopping next time, buy jeans with buttons on. Buy coats with buttons on rather than zippers. You may find it a hard job to find such things, and if you do, at least you've tried. But that would be my recommendation, to give up on the zipper. Also, when you're buying new clothes, and this can't possibly affect the clothes that are already in your wardrobe, but it can when you buy new clothes, is think about the fibres. Now, if you go onto the internet and say what fibre to get, there will be lots of people saying what you should get is eco-cotton. Cotton which has been grown organically and which doesn't use any artificial fertilisers or pesticides on the crop. And that's very noble. Unfortunately, it's not always that easy. Because if you are restricted in terms of your income, and if you're restricted because you have lots of children to clothe, you may not be able to do that every time. But you could certainly choose cotton over synthetic fibres. You could choose cotton over polyester. You could choose, wherever possible, to buy cotton t-shirts rather than a cotton polyester t-shirt. Read the label carefully, and just because you pick up one on a rack which says cotton, it doesn't mean they're all on that rack. The manufacturers often dye by dipping. And if you've got t-shirts, you dip them in bleach if you want white t-shirts, and then wash them and dry them. You dip them in black dye if you want black t-shirts. If you want grey t-shirts, you use half polyester in the fibre that doesn't take up dye, and you dip them in the same black vat as the black t-shirts, and they come out grey. So if you look at greys, they're very often a polyester cotton mix, because that's a cheap way of doing it. Have a look at labels. Try and go for natural fibres. Now, natural fibres aren't only cotton. You can also get linen. You can also get bamboo. If you're happy with it, you can get wool. You can get silk, although that's rather expensive, and a lot of people have objections to silk. It's up to you personally where your ethics lie. It's not for me to tell you. But wool, cotton, linen certainly gives you a good range, doesn't it? And then what you do when you've finished with it, well, if it's good, it goes to charity shop, we said earlier. If it's past it, you can recycle fibre. They can take something that's made out of linen, cotton or wool, and they have machines that will spread it into individual fibres, and they can weave it together and make something new. About 15 years ago, I got a big overshirt, which is 100% recycled fabric. And I've still got it. It's great. And so it was something else, and now it's my shirt. And I hope to wear it for another 15 years, if not longer. So you can do these things. You can get an entire wardrobe made out of natural fibres, if you like. It's harder for women than it is for men. I understand that. I can have an entire wardrobe made out of cotton, linen, wool, no problem. When it comes to shoes, you have the big problem of what is ethical and what isn't, because if shoes are made of leather, they have involved killing of animals, and you might be opposed to that, and you might think there's cruelty to involved in that process. If you buy shoes made out of plastic, they're going to have an enormous environmental problem when they're dropped into a hole in the ground, and they're there for thousands of years to come. I well remember when my children, the oldest children, were very young, where we were living in North Oxfordshire in the UK, there was a field opposite us, and in the middle of that field there was a kind of dip that you could see from a distance, and that dip was a 1930s rubbish dump. And we spent some time excavating it. And if you are going to dig old rubbish dumps, do be warned that there is one disease in particular, I'm talking about anthrax, which can live in the soil for many, many decades. So if you live in an area where there was anthrax, please be careful about digging where there might be old bones from butcher's shops and from kitchens and things there, because anthrax can still live on them. If you live in a part of the world where anthrax has never been a problem, you can dig away. And you will find bits of crockery, you will find glass jars, you will find all sorts of things. You will find metal spoons, you will find all that sort of organic stuff has rotted away. And you will find leather boots and leather shoes that are starting on the process of breaking down. It takes a long time for leather boots to break down in the soil fully. It might take 100 years, but that's nothing compared to how long it will take synthetic shoes to break down. We'd be measuring that in thousands of years. So you've got to make that decision for yourself as whether you think it's ethical to wear leather or not. And once you've made that decision, it's your decision, that's fine. Nobody's going to tell you that's a wrong decision, but you have to make it for yourself. Now, how can you tell if the clothing that you're wearing has been ethically produced? How can you tell that it wasn't made in a factory where conditions were little better than slavery, where young children are employed, where quite often women are expected to work long hours, 12, 14, 16 hours a day for very little pay. It's very hard. You can look for manufacturers who are quite open where they source things from. You can buy clothing that was only made in countries where they have rules and regulations about working hours and age of employment. But it's very hard sometimes to get that right. If you go to a store when you generally buy your clothing, find out what their policy is on ethical production of clothing. See what they do. You can't go and visit the factories where it was made, but find out if the clothing store sends people to see what conditions are like where their clothing is manufactured. In the end, you've got to make a decision based on the information you have, but that's what you must do. When it comes to secondhand clothing, some of these issues become less of a problem. There is no point in you worrying about whether your secondhand clothing is made out of a natural fibre or not. You might prefer natural fibres, but it's less of a problem because it's been manufactured already. And if you don't buy it, it may end up in a hole in the ground. So by you buying it and wearing it, it may delay going into that hole in the ground for another decade. You're not adding to the problem. You're not taking away from the problem. The problem is still there. So again, you need to think about that one fairly carefully. And where do you stand on wearing furs? Well, as far as I can see, there is a difference between wearing leather made from a domestic animal and fur of an animal that isn't a domestic animal. Lots of these animals that produce fur are tiny carnivores, like polecats, ferrets, stoats, these kind of things. And if you look at the conditions under which they're farmed, they're pretty horrible. They need a lot to be desired. So again, think very carefully about wearing fur. Don't just wear fur mindlessly without considering the pain and suffering it causes to animals. Think about it carefully first. Make your own moral choice. Now, there is always an alternative to buying clothes from shops. One of the things is that you can make your own. Now, I can't make my own clothing. I admit that fully. I have had experiences with sewing machines, but I'm not a machine person. Give me an animal or a plant and I'll look after it. Give me a machine and we're going to fall out fairly quickly. I know some of you out there do wonderful things with making clothing for yourselves and your family, and that is wonderful. That is truly wonderful. So please, that is good. That is good. Now, we should also talk about the things that aren't clothing that people wear. People have hair. People have facial hair. Males have facial hair by choice. They don't have to have it. People wear jewellery. People wear makeup. And how far is this part of your simple lifestyle? Well, some of the things, as far as the makeup and the jewellery go, ethics apply there too. You can look at the cosmetics you buy. You can make sure that they're ethically produced. You can bear the same thing in mind about fashion and style. If you wear colours that are fashionable, they may not be fashionable next year and you may need to change them. But if you develop your own style, cosmetics will last you longer and they're fine. Please make sure they are produced without cruelty where possible. That's an important issue. And how do you wear your hair? Well, if you want a simple life, you will develop a way of wearing your hair that is fairly simple. If it's incredibly ornate and it takes you 40 minutes to get your hair ready in the mornings, that's not simple. You might want to do that for a special occasion, but most days, just find a hairstyle that is fairly easy to manage, long or short. For men or women, it doesn't matter. I'm not making any sexist issues about this. If you want short hair, that's fine. If you want long hair, that's fine. But make sure you can look after it with a minimum amount of fuss and a minimum amount of product. That's fine. When it comes to jewellery, do you know that some of the earliest artifacts that have been found that humans have made have been items of jewellery. And some people don't wear jewellery. Amish women don't wear jewellery at all. A lot of people do. And again, there's nothing wrong in it, as long as you keep your eyes on the ethics of the manufacturer, and as long as you don't deplete the world's resources by getting so much of it, that's not a problem. Now, as well as hair on your head, there is hair on your face, and a lot of men wear beards. Now, I was born at a time when very few men wore beards because they weren't fashionable. If you saw a man with a beard when I was 5, 6, 7, if you saw a man with a beard, it would probably be worth, as a small child, a long stare to see what they look like, because it was unusual. My mother didn't like men with beards. She didn't like men anyway, really, but men with beards were particularly obnoxious to her. And she thought that men with beards were lazy because they didn't shave every morning, or dirty because they couldn't wash their face properly. Nowadays, beards are quite fashionable. Lots of people wear them. And there's lots of styles you can wear. Again, like hair, try and choose something, if you want facial hair, that's quite easy to manage. Facial hair does have uses. It keeps the sun off your face. It keeps your chin warm. I can testify to this. It really does keep your chin warm. It can be, you know, something like a good head of hair, a good beard is something that you like to wear because it expresses your personality. And that's fine. That's fine. We're running out of time and I've got lots of things still to talk about. So we'll come back to clothing another time real soon. Please like this podcast, assuming you did like it. Please share it where possible, and please subscribe so you don't miss out on them. Thank you for joining me in my kitchen today, where my cats have all been very well behaved, except for the cat outside that's looking at me through the glass. And I hope you can join me again real soon. It's been good to talk with you. Bye for now.